Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
2017 NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was you doing?
So, I've been waiting to really like dissect it because I've been asked this question in certain situations, but I never felt comfortable enough like I do in this, and obviously in this element to say what I really wanted to say. The game is tied, but it's 5 other times earlier in that season. We were put in the same situation. First thing we do, we get the rebound, we call timeout. All right, bet, get the ball to Brown, space out, he gonna make it work. What better chance we got? Long story short, it don't go that way.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pill. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta like the wiggin' wheel straight up. Look in the pass bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot of take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
The I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot. These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchup, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players a deposit bonus in up to $1,000 with your first deposit. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. See all they have to offer. Same game parlays, prop bets, live betting, and so much more. DraftKings Sportsbook, it's one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps out there. It's safe, it's secure. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state, don't forget about DraftKings Sportsbook Fantasy app. Every week, there's millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings.com is the sportsbook. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete, all day. Promo code ATHLETE, let's get it.
Today we are shooting for a collection too.
Even if you can like toss it like you're doing, you know, just like a little more relaxed, that's beautiful.
It's been an amazing experience watching Mishi and the team working hard on this project and making this come to life. It's an amazing collection and I cannot wait to show you guys what we've been working on.
Leon Bridges, River, I feel like music is like the universal language, right? Connects all of us. So when I looked at your playlist, I'm like, damn, you listen to Chris Stapleton, Leon Bridges, River. Why you connect with that song?
For me, I felt like I always connected from my grandparents. You know, my grandparents always was, you know, obviously was, grew up in a tough time and they really, it was more about hymns and the feel of the culture and the feel of your people. For me, it just always resonated with me. So now going back to school, I'm in school doing liberal studies and, you know, I have my African histories classes and
really learned about the history of where we come from, who I am, and did a whole genealogy project and all of that stuff. And really found out about me and listened to the songs. It just resonates with me. Just like I feel it, like, you know, I feel my ancestors inside of me, and just the you know, the good, bad, and the ugly.
Right. You know? When I listen to that song, bro, like, I mean, music just move you. Music is emotional. That song's deep, bro. Like, I never heard that song before. And I'm just gonna get straight to it, right? Like, I feel pain. I feel struggle, I feel trauma. You know what I mean? I feel plight. And so.
You also feel the need to do something about it, though.
Right. That's right. And so, like, I mean, there's so many things that we can talk about with you. But when I think about you, I think about, like, potentially misunderstood. I think about product in your environment, but like you said, doing something about it and overcoming. And so, like, bro, like, I was fighting back tears listening to that.
Certain music hits certain people differently.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And music like that for us, you know, as black men, and, you know, like how you say you felt pain. You being able to say that as a black man on a show or in front of other black men, that's big. Because you're able to admit that something hurts you or right. Something, you feel some type of way.
Right.
We didn't grow up like that.
Right.
You grew up like, you crying?
Yeah.
Like, you crying?
Right.
No, nah, bro, you, like, that's how you feel?
Right.
Holler at me.
Right.
Let me know. I'd rather you let me know and let your pain out and your anger and your feelings or however you feel, than somebody just set you off and then I ain't gonna never see you.
Do you feel misunderstood?
I do and I don't. I don't feel misunderstood because the people who I need to understand me.
Right.
But when it's time to do business and it's time to actually get to the bag and have to appease people, I feel completely misunderstood because I'm not that. You know, people want to just be like, oh no, everything is good. Yeah, he's good. Like, no, he ain't, bro. Like, this is where we at.
Right.
Let's call it a spade a spade. Like, I grew up from my pops did construction. He did construction my whole life, his whole life pretty much. And you know, out there on the construction site, that's a long day. So you spend your money slow. Like, you out, like, that's a hard working job. And that's accountability because people can die in those joints. You got all of this, that, and the third. So it's accountability from the door. Like, I got to be able to depend on you to do my job. Because if I don't do my job, I got to go home and tell my family why I can't support y'all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't realize, like, at the end of the day, yes, we love the game, but this is how we feed our family. This is my food. Like, don't take no food off my plate.
Yeah. I feel, like, bro, I feel so connected to you, right? You know what I'm saying? I feel so connected to you because it's the same way. Like, my agent had to come to me. He had to fly out to Denver and say, be diplomatic. Because I was the same way. Like, I'm coming in there, and I don't care if you're the owner. I don't care if you're the general manager. No, this is what it is. And I had to learn how to communicate. I had to learn how to operate within the team because a lot of people don't connect with those emotions. Never forget playing for the Chicago Bears. I came in a game one time and we had a couple dudes that wasn't really there. And I'm like, yo, this saved my life. Football saved my life. And so, you know, I played with DJ in Denver and in also Chicago. In Chicago.
And I saw the growth and I saw the difference between Denver B and Chicago B.
Right.
And I made a little joke. I when I came in, locker was clean. So I'm looking at you like, is this real? What's up? You know what I mean? And it was the growth, right? Because you come into the league from the environment that you came in prior, you're finding your way on your own, right? A lot of us didn't have those positive mentors that we needed. You got to Denver, you had a Rod Smith. And when I got to Chicago, I saw a man that was at the point to where you were open and you were ready to be better than what you were before.
Right. Yeah, that's deep, bro. Like, for real, man, I had to learn.
But, you know, just to add to that story, when you ask him, is he misunderstood? I think, and all of us as athletes, we all play the game a different way. I used to dance. I get an and one, I shake.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You do that shit.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I get an and one, I used to shake. So, people took that the wrong way. you know, other teams sometimes like, oh, he's showing us out. He's showing. That's just how I express myself in emotion. If you go back and you watch me in college, I used to do the same thing in college and never got criticized for it. But when I go to Boston, organization, unbelievable legends behind there. You know, when you come behind the Birds, the McHale, the Parishes, and, you know, Red Auerbach, it's more traditional. So I changed that, and I kept doing it.
Right.
So next thing you know, once I can start winning a little bit with the dance, now everybody like, okay, we're going to roll with it. You know what I mean? JR, I put JR from my experience, and JR came in at 19. I came in at 19. And I know his history, and I follow his career. But for him, he just do it differently. He played a game with a lot of emotion. He's a competitor. He liked to win. He may dunk on you. He's going to let you know about it.
Yeah, right, right.
He may trash talk a little bit with you.
Right.
He got tattoos, even though it's common, but he got a lot of tattoos. So people, they like, man, he different.
He was the first dude that I seen with sleeves in the league.
Yeah.
I ain't had no sleeves when we got to Denver in 2006. Bro, you had tattoos on your faces. How many years did you play in the NBA?
16.
Damn. That kind of debunked where I wanted to go. That's a phenomenal career. Why JR ain't in the league anymore?
There's no way he should be in the league. And the only reason he shouldn't be in the league, everybody watches basketball now. It's a three-point shooting league. If you need three-point shooting, how he not in the league?
Right.
Just off that alone, he should always been. He should play 20 years.
Right.
Just off that alone because of his ability to shoot the three. And that's where the game is at. You got teams shooting 40, 50, 60 threes a game. There's no way he shouldn't be in the league. My personal opinion is that he don't tote the same lines as all of us. The guys that get the 15 to 18 to 20 year careers are more, they're going to be really quiet and they're going to say anything and they're going to voice their opinion. They're not going to challenge their teammates to be better.
It's almost like Carmelo. Carmelo went through it. Carmelo was on the streets for a year and a half. It's the same thing. Can he come in and transition to that role player, that team guy? It was almost the same thing. Sorry, bro, we talking about you like you ain't here.
But this is for every athlete in every sport that has the talent to be in the league and you wonder why he's not in the league. Once you get 10 plus years and you have that outlier mentality, they understand that the young guys coming in, they're going to listen to you before they listen to assistant coaches.
That's a great point.
So when they want a culture, they got to get rid of those guys that are going to challenge that culture. Those guys that kind of stay in are those guys that are middle of the road, go with the culture.
Turn into GMs.
And, you know, instead of those guys that, listen, bro, look, I know what he said. That ain't it.
Right.
They don't want that.
Right.
They want it to be uniform.
Right.
And I'll be honest, like, the high school that I went to molded me to be that guy. So.
Corporate guy?
Corporate.
Institutionalized?
And team, everything. And I was taught best interest of the team of yourself. So now, So when I see guys like that, like you, I'm envious because he lived in his true skin through and through.
Right.
He's in different skin.
Yeah. But you know what? I lived in my true skin because I was a team guy. Like, believe it or not, I played football growing up. I played baseball growing up. I played basketball. I played all these sports. So I was nurtured into, you can't do it without them. You know what I'm saying? So for me, even when I was in Denver, come off the bench, people were always like, oh yeah, he'll shoot it whenever, whatever. That was my role. When I got to Cleveland, that wasn't my role. My role was to play defense, go guard the best person. I'm sacrificing for the team. It was always like that for me. So for when people would always say like, oh yeah, he was out for self or he just wanted to go get buckets, like, no, that's my role. If the coach give me the, look, man, I don't want you to shoot this how many times, all right, cool. That's how my papa bred me to play the game. I don't want you to shoot this many shots over. All right, cool, I'm gonna go do this. Cause I gotta stay on the floor.
Right.
Regardless of the fact.
So was that your role in Denver?
My role
what
in Denver.
What was your role in Denver? The reason why I say that, because we was out in Denver at the same time. And I love Melo and I love J.R. Smith. And your ass was shooting from the half court, man.
Look, before you even go there, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. They saved me in Denver, bro. Thursday nights, when they had big time games,
What was the restaurant called? Blue Sky. You don't know about no Blue Sky. You ain't enjoy Blue Sky. You was on the court. Hold on, listen. We talking about financial literacy.
Yeah. I got 25 people drunk for $300 in Blue Sky. I don't know how. I'm talking about faded out of there. Like, I befriended so many of your teammates, cousins, friends, family, all, like, it was all love. And it was energy.
How was that for you? That phase of your career?
It was amazing, man. Like that was probably one of the most talented teams I've ever had and ever played on. Of course, we had a dope coach who wanted to play mind games with the team, just try to manipulate the situation. So that was like the really our downfall as a team, because it had us like really like, yo, you don't really me like, bro. It was like, what's up?
Right.
And then when you try that confrontation in the locker room, you know how that go. Yeah. Some people indirect, some people like, I don't want to get this confrontation. Like, so it just really, you know, fickled the team. But for me, that was like, honestly, one of my, in practice, it was just hot. It was a highlight tape every day.
You ain't go at Melo?
For sure.
Twan, who you got one-on-one, Melo or JR?
JR? Three dribbles?
Yeah, three dribbles.
Melo.
Yep,
no. Do what you want to do. I might have to take JR.
Ooh, you like it? You like what he said?
Yeah, I mean, because for me, at the end of the day, realistically, Melo's one of the greatest mid-range post-up players ever. Like, and ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So you give him 2 to 3 dribbles in that space, and it's gonna be tough for anybody.
Right.
So I give him that respect. But face to face, one on one. I got you for sure.
What have you learned from Melo?
I learned when to say what I need to say. For me, watching him, you can never really see when he's rapping.
Right.
Like, his poker face is unbelievable. That's one thing I always admired about him, and he never let, like, me and the coach, me and my coach, I don't even want to say his name. We used to get into it. Nah. We used to get into it all the time, bro. And him and Melo used to, like, have fuses. But Melo would just play it how he played it. I'm like, damn, I wish I could do that. I can't do that, bro. Like, right. I gotta, he tell me you, I'm telling you and your mama. Like, straight right, up. Right, like, right. That's just how it is. But if I could say anything, like, that right there, but on the court, his pace. He ain't gonna let you speed him up. He not gonna let you do nothing he don't wanna do.
Do you feel full? Do you feel like is basketball out your system? Cause like there's talk now, it's like, yo, I'm ready. Like you're saying that. Do you feel full? Are you ready for that transition where like, okay, I'm done with basketball completely?
No, because I can still do it to the best of my ability. I know I'm still better than a lot of people who still playing. Like I got a whole lot left in the tank. I haven't played in really a year and a half, going on 2 years now, since the bubble. And I'm still top 12 in the league in 3-pointers of all time.
Top
12? 12 or 13, whatever you want to call it. But it's still like, in times that I'm missing, that's what I look at it like, yo, bro, y'all with my legacy. Right. Like, I'm supposed to be top 5. No ifs, ands, or buts. Y'all picking and choosing who you want in these record books because you know at a certain point in time, ain't nothing you can do.
Like I was saying, I don't feel misunderstood from people who need to understand me. I feel misrepresented by people who look like us. Mm. During segregation and all of these things happened, Tulsa, the bombings and all of these things, we built up our communities by group economics. You weren't allowed to go play at Duke.
Right.
You weren't allowed to go play at Clemson or South Carolina. But through standing strong within our own community, they see like, oh no, we got it. They too strong like that. So you break them down to numbers and now we don't need him, we need him. Right. So it's like, that's where the chain breaks.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If you had to be a more docile version of yourself to get in, would you do it?
See, my thing with that is, I've always been and you can ask all my young boys this, I've always been a vet who taught you everything I know, because that's how the game was passed down to me. So you like, for me, I let the young boy take the shine. Y'all want to let him rock out? All right, cool, but I'm not going to let him go out here look like Boo Boo the Fool. I'm teaching him all the tricks. I'm going to give him everything he need to know. If you try to tell him to shoot the gap on that bull
screen when they cut, set the cross screen when Klay come off. No, he's locking in trailing and chasing him all the way up the court. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say, coach. He's not getting off of his body.
Right.
Now, if you want me to tone that down, I can't do that because you're setting him up to fail. You're going, you making him score 50 instead of him scoring 40.
Right. I feel like some of the great athletes have this extreme high football basketball IQ. Talk to me about basketball IQ. You feel like you had a, you feel like that's, you know what I mean, at this phase?
Oh, without question. And I think even the post, what you're saying, I think is really based off, can you be a locker room guy?
There it is.
It's not much to say that. And what I mean by a locker room guy, sometimes they sign guys, that 14, 15 player may be a guy they
just think, for the locker room.
Just for the locker room. Think about a guy like me and JR, and I don't know, I'm just going off what I know. We want to play. We're competitive still. So it's hard for us when you ask us to be that guy, that company guy, be a locker room guy and not want to compete. It's a problem. It's the reason that drove me out the league. So my last year, I get traded to Memphis. I went from Minnesota to Memphis. That's like going from the I wasn't ready to be that locker room guy. My pride was in the way. So I was like, yo, how can I get out of here? So I'm like, I'm going to take a buyout. Yeah, I'm going to give y'all some money back. Yeah, I need to go. But where I messed up at, I decided to go with having somewhere to go. See, that's where a lot of guys mess up at, and our pride get in the way. Before I leave plan A, I got to have plan B. I didn't have plan B in order. I'm thinking like, yo, I'm Antoine Walker. I mean, somebody going to pick me up.
Right.
That phone went dead.
Right.
At least that's what my agent said.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that phone went dead. So that's the mentality. So that's where it comes to. Even so, I know he goes, can JR be a, you want to come in and play? And that's what Melo struggled at. They wanted Melo to go to the bench. Melo like, yo, I ain't going to the bench. And behind who? And when he said that, I understood that. You know what I'm saying? So you know how hard it is to look yourself in the mirror and realize that, hey, look, if I want to continue to do what I love to do, I got to take that step back. And it took Melo a year and a half to do that. And turned out Portland ended up being a great situation for him. But you got to think about that. That's what they want veteran guys to do. And if you can't succumb to the locker room, like you said, and be that top level assistant and just teach guys, and you don't want us to teach guys, so we're going to teach guys our way.
Yeah, so my last year in Cleveland, this is when I got, they asked me to leave. I took the buyout or whatever.
How much they gave you?
How much? Right.
I want to know because nobody ever paid me to not.
No, do what we used to do when we had the rookies coming in. We, you know, like yo, signing bonus, all of that. Yeah.
How much they paid you to go? To not whatever.
They paid me a nice little chunk of change.
Okay, that's good.
Come on, bro. Tell us what they paid you.
So, my...
You don't want to tell us?
No.
Just give me a little bit.
Nice, though. Yeah.
Nice. Let's talk rabbits. Yeah. 10 rabbits, 12 rabbits, 5 rabbits?
It was more than what I was suspecting, I'll tell you that. That's how I knew they was ready for my to go. But so we, like, same situation. You know, Bron leave to go to L.A. Kai left the year before. So we go from front runners to go to the finals to we might not make the playoffs.
Right.
And literally one person left. Two people left, RJ left. And for that summer, I'm like, yo, I talk to him. You know, yo, y'all want to do something, make a move, you know, let me know so we can start looking for other situations. Because I understand, you know, y'all might be butt hurt and y'all want to rebuild or whatever. No, we're going to be competitive. We're trying to make the playoffs. We're going to make. Oh, all right, bet. Come into training camp, pull my hamstring. I'm out a week and a half. And from that point in time, they just made their mind up like, nah, we just going to start tanking. Like, ain't no point. Now, we got T. Lou, the head coach. Everybody except for Bron back.
Kevin Love's still there,
Tristan's still there, the crew. Went to 4 straight finals, and now out of nowhere, we just gonna start losing just because we lost one dude. Don't get me wrong, obviously he was a major part, but now we just gonna break it down and just start over. But right. Now you just told me this whole summer that this we gonna,
right.
Nah, we trying to do it.
Right.
Now, 3 games in, you fire T. Lou.
Three games in.
The head coach that just took you to the finals, having won your first championship ever, all that. Meanwhile, we playing every day in practice, every day one-on-ones and everything, and they can't score. But you want them to play in a league game against other all-stars. All right, cool, that's what you want to do? Say no more. Right. Just don't get mad at me for feeling the way I feel about the situation. Cool. I don't agree with this situation, but you're putting me in this situation.
Okay, I got to push back because in football, it's about the team. In basketball, I kind of feel like, bro, one person do make a difference. MJ, Kobe, you know what I'm saying?
100%. Braun. I mean, if you put, like, and people make the comparison, I was seeing, I was watching Kobe and Shaq actually interview the other day, and at one point, Shaq says something that's like, you know, if Penny was here, we would be in a better situation, whatever, and Kobe, like, heard that, and he was ready to go. He was ready to go to Chicago or whatnot. And it's just like, bro, if Kobe wasn't there, like, there's nobody in that league at that time other than Mike that could have did what he was doing. When he went to Indiana and won game six by himself when Shaq fouled out, went for 40 on Reggie? When was that going to happen? When was that happening back then?
Never. That ain't happening.
Indiana?
Right.
Like, and same situation, you go MJ, flu game, whatever. Pitt picked up his slack.
That really wasn't a flu game, though.
Whatever, we know what it was, but I'm just telling you, yeah. You got to keep the sneaks alive. Flu game four, flu game 12, let me just say.
Listen, I had the great fortune to play against Mike. I caught Mike at 39 on the comeback, Mike 2001, in the gym with him every day.
Still cooking. Right.
Every day, bro. It was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I was 5 years in. I never touched the weight outside. When I left college, all I thought was play ball 5 days a week. That's how you stayed in shape. When Mike called me, got me with Tim Grover. Just like he was with LeBron every day, I was with Mike every day. It's the best thing I ever did in my career, just to be with him and to see his work ethic, his commitment to the game and how he did it every day. But no, I thought every day I could beat Mike.
I was supposed to be a hooper.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Listen, no, Pete. No.
He a hooper.
Look,
he don't even sit like no hooper. Look, he can't cross his leg. His thighs too big, calves too big.
I about to say legs way too big, bro. You're definitely running back and linebacker.
At 13 years old, I was just 6'2". I went to the doctor. We did a little bone, the x-rays, and he saw my bone growth, plates were still loose. Doctor said you're supposed to be no shorter than 6'4", no taller than 6'7". I went to De La to play basketball. I gained 45 pounds.
Yeah, but bro, that you going off of like body and like
but listen, height. No, but I know, I ain't, let me get into my question.
Please, because you sound crazy right now.
I truly believe at 6'1 and 7/8", if I played in the NBA, I'd never get dunked on.
What?
You hear what I said?
You said you'll never get dunked on?
6'1 and 7/8". If I played in the NBA, I'd never get dunked on.
You're definitely doing some me.
No.
You get hella flagrant.
Nah.
Getting kicked out the game. Because you're going to get dunked on.
Here's how I look at it, right? Like, I don't know. I might be doing football. I got a right to the ball just like you do. I never understood because in order to get... If you coming at me, in order to dunk on me, you got to go through me.
Yeah.
That's football mentality.
You ever seen Derrick
Rose? My mindset, no. My mindset is where we meet in the air is where we go down.
Yeah, you trying to hurt somebody, man.
I'm going to block the ball, but still you got to go through my body.
In the rules of the game, you're going to get dunked on.
I'll never get dunked.
That's like saying you're not going to get your shot blocked. Your shot's going to get blocked sometime. That's like saying you're not going to shoot an air ball. You're going to shoot an air ball sometime.
No.
So you mean to tell me a pulling guard ain't never clinched you?
Who?
A pulling guard. You heard him.
A pulling guard?
Yeah. Fanica coming around.
A pulling guard coming around. He never clinched you.
The only time he ever clinched me is because I sacrificed myself for the better of the team.
So listen.
What I'm saying is, Bron, Giannis, all them boys, it don't matter. Where we meet in the air is where we go down. you know, you hear about basketball players, you hear the conversation, oh, what if Bron played tight end or this and that. The moment 6'9", 270 come across the middle and 205 come full speed at that knee, it's going to change your whole perspective on life.
Some cat out of New York, he tweeted this. After being offered $100K for each loss in order to tank, Brian Flores says he told Dolphins owner Stephen Ross he wouldn't lose games on purpose. You then follow up and you respond. You said, sound like my last year with the Cavs.
You know, this whole moment of whether misunderstood, misrepresented, Brian Flores is up against it right now. Files a class action lawsuit against the NFL, knowing that this could be career suicide.
It is career suicide.
Yeah, for sure. Unless he go to a HBCU and coach, he'll be coaching high school football.
You don't think Brian Flores will get another job?
No. When Cap brought up the situation, did he get another job? He settled, he got the settlement, everything. All of that happened, swept under the rug, don't hear nothing else about it. Does he have another job?
Nope. I mean, that's a big conversation right now. Like,
Peep this. Remember when Cap spoke out with the kneeling and the whole situation, right? Within the NFL, you had guys that were with him, guys that weren't with him. How many current NFL coaches are going to send out a post something to say, I'm with you?
Right.
That number going to be very, very low.
What you think, OG? You think? How you think this is going to play out with Coach Brian Flores, a guy who started off this season, I believe, 1-6, okay? And then went off to win 8 of his last 9, 7 in a row. How you think this is going to play out?
I gotta go with what we saw in the past, somebody that takes a stance the way he took a stance, and I commend him for doing it. Because, you know, obviously to put your job and your family and everything on the forefront like that is very difficult to do. But I just think it's like the Cap situation. I think he probably won't ever coach in the NFL again. I just look at the owners. I look at the owners and I look at, in all sports, they stick together. And I'll take it a step further. I was in 1998, after the season's over, 99, we went into labor negotiations with the owners. I was a part of the lockout, a lockout that went a significant amount of time where we missed half the season. We played the 52-game season where we had to play 52 games, and we missed a lot of paychecks. And I saw players crumble in meetings because they couldn't feed their family. Once they got to missing 3, 4, 5, 6 games, how the meetings turned from unification to, yo, I ain't making the money you making. You make more than me. I can't pay my bills. I just don't think the players are unified enough to stand behind him. And the players are 70% black when I look at the NFL. You got to get that type of unification. On top of that, you need Tom Brady. You need Peyton Manning. You need Eli Manning. You need those guys to step up too. If they believe in that and they believe what he's doing is actually right, Tom Brady just left Brian Leftwich for 2 years. Black coach that's interviewing for jobs. Why not? And I'm not going at Tom. I love Tom. It's my man. But you need him to step up and speak up and say, Brian Leftwich should be a head coach. I just left him for 2 years. Who know him better than him?
Someone said this. Who said this? Meek Mill said this. He was just going at Atlantic Records. And he talking about his challenge right now. He's like, yo, they told me, like, I'm trying to get out. And they was like, you can't drop music for another 2 years. And he said, I got money set aside and I got things put up. But for most people, for most rappers, for most entertainers, they're going to your point, I don't got the money to last 2 years. And Meek Mill said this. He said,
it ain't never going to be changed.
I know, but don't know. Hold on. Stay with me. This is what Meek said. He just said this a couple days ago. Meek said, it ain't about the Hugh Jacksons, which I applaud Hugh for standing up and also saying, no, this is real, right? But it's about who's on top when you're in your prime to be able to come up and say, whether it's Mike Tomlin and all the other black the minority coaches or general managers, head coaches say, I'm behind you.
Listen.
Right? Because that's important. And that goes back to what you said. It's not just minorities too, but it's like in your prime, you got Tom Brady, you got the Peyton Mannings of the world that's saying, like, no, I'm rocking with you. What you trying to accomplish with this move you making right now, this transition that you're in?
My biggest move right now is trying to change as many minds that look like us back into the Afrocentric mindset opposed to the Eurocentric mindset. Like everything we talking about right now, like he was just saying, after he jumps on that grenade, who's gonna follow him? We're so trained and it's so embedded to have that Eurocentric mindset that worry about myself, worry about me, worry about mine. I'm not gonna help nobody else who look like me build up when everybody else do it but us. When you've made over $100 million in your career, right? Is 105 going to change? 110 going to change your lifestyle? Realistically, you know how many people you can change lifestyle with $10 million in our hood, in our communities? We were in the bubble. George Floyd happens.
That's right.
We stopped playing. We're in there. We go, oh, we're gonna ask the owners for it. We're gonna ask the owners for it. Stop asking them for What are we asking them for? I went down the line. No bullshit. You can show. You can ask these dudes if not. I got Paul George sitting right here. I got DeMar DeRozan sitting right here. I got Russell Westbrook sitting right here. I'm literally sitting next to all of these dudes who are LA guys. I'm like, bro, I'm not counting your chips. But everybody else is. So you make 200, you make 200, you make 175, you make 150, you make 180. Why don't y'all have your own gym? Why we gotta go to UCLA to work out in LA every time? Y'all all come from the exact same community. You want to inspire kids that look like you. All it takes is five of us. Five. 250, 250, 250, 250, 250. What bank gonna turn us down? We about to build this whole shit out for our community. We gonna build gyms, rec centers, start leagues and all of that. Who's gonna stop us? We got the money. We don't have the mindset. Our mindset, we'd rather go throw $60,000 in the club, in the strip club. Go throw $60,000 than go feed 2,500 people in the hood. Think about it. I've done it. I can't sit here and be like, oh man, I'm a hypocrite. I've done this myself. I've thrown money in the club literally, blindlessly, aimlessly, drunk, at a ball. And now I sit back like I'm a stupid ass. I could have fed my whole community 10 times over with the money. I was just late on the bus.
Right.
Because I'm so wrapped into me. I got that Eurocentric mindset. I need this designer jacket. I need these jeans. I need this book bag. I need to be looking like this because the vets got this. I'm pushing this car. I'm doing... Why? Who am I impressing?
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
I'm not even fulfilled with me.
When did that click for you?
It clicked for me probably the year after we won the chip. The year after we won the chip, I felt like I had everything, and I still wasn't whole with me because I knew there was something missing. And I couldn't, and for a long time, I went through bad depression with it because I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, I've always had this mission because my parents instilled in me to help my community, help my people, help people around me, help people who look like me. It was always about the kids when I was growing up with my pops. It was always about the kids. And I always wanted to do something like that, but I couldn't. I was tired of putting my name on it and not being on the forefront of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of being able to, I'm tired of being a person to talk about it and not being a person walking that. Because I can't tell you to help out with this and this and that if I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I felt I'm putting people, young brothers who look like me, in a worse situation.
Because they looking up to you.
They look up to me. So when they think, oh, this is cool, this is what they saying he did this and that, he did this, he threw soap on soup on the coach or whatever, they think that is cool. Look at what we glorify. Strip club, getting high, setting people up, killing people. Like, look at what we glorify. And they put millions and millions of dollars into this. Record labels put billions of dollars into this and sell. And we still get raped off of entertainment.
Right. So this is the why behind your movement right now?
100%.
So it's strategic?
Very. Like for me, I look at Mike. He got his own golf course. I've never played it, but a lot of, like, from what I hear about it, it's very us over there. When you listen to the stories about him going to certain places as Michael Jordan, and white men used to be like, can't play here. This is Michael Jordan. It ain't about that no more. It ain't about the fame. It ain't about how much money you got. It's what you're doing for your people and what it is. Because they got golf clubs, country clubs, banks, everything for them. And they let you know, it's not for you. We didn't build this for you. Rolex, Timberland, all Gucci, Louis, all these that we wear, they tell me we didn't make this for you.
Right.
And we still spend the most collectively on all of that. Instead of putting it into, what I asked you about when you was coming from the bathroom?
He asked me what I was doing with my clothing brand and what we trying to do, financial literacy for the collegiate kids.
Why would I go spend $50,000 in Gucci? I could go spend $50,000 with him and we can really do this.
Damn life.
Facts. My cousin went to the U, played with him and everything.
Oh, you know the stories about him?
Everything.
Hey, wow.
Yeah, I was a football player first. Like, that was my passion. Football was my passion. They tricked me into playing basketball. They told me I could go to this prep school. You can play football, whatever.
You would have been a nice receiver.
I'm like, all right, cool. That's what receiver and safety. That was my.
Where'd you go to high school?
Lakewood High School.
You went to Lakewood in Orlando?
In Jersey.
In Jersey, okay.
Yeah. But for me, ever since, like, I was a kid, I've always had this mission of like, helping. Because my grandfather did construction, my pops did construction, all my uncles, they all worked together. So I got used to being able to see community. Like, I grew up, people don't even know this about me. I'm not from the hood.
Twan said that earlier. I was not. Twan said he from the suburbs.
Nah, for real. Like, I grew, no, bro.
You look like you're from the hood. You got tattoos.
But this is me being able to, this is me being able to express myself without no repercussion of nobody else, because this is how I feel about me.
Right.
From kindergarten.
Which is interesting what I just said, the language I used before.
I was about to.
That's right. But you can't.
Yeah.
Right, but that's.
That's you look like you exactly. From the hood. What does that mean?
Correct.
You sound
preach,
black.
Preach. Get on me.
Right.
That's right. Go ahead.
But since from kindergarten to eighth grade, right? I was one of six black people in school. My sister and two of my other cousins was one of the other six. The whole time, I get to high school,
My pops got this whole plan. Look, man, we got you on a mission. We're going to go to this school. All right, cool. Get kicked out of that school because I don't live in the district. We're going to go to this school. I hated that school. All right, cool. We're going to send you to the hood. Go to the hood, thrive, find out my culture. Like, this is where I've been thriving. And, like, when I tell you from middle school to eighth grade, I went to school all white people. 20 minutes away was the hood. So all my cousins, all my family members, everybody else lived in the hood. So after school, every day, I used to go to the hood, play ball, football, all that. Come back, go to school the next day, we do the same all over again. Right. So my competitive edge already grew because I'm playing against motherfuckers who look like me and who really want to beat my ass. All I gotta prove myself to y'all.
You might be then, fighting on the court.
No, ain't no Mike. You definitely fighting. Then I gotta go to the other side and go with the white boys who don't with me because I'm black, and I gotta prove myself to y'all. So I'm fighting literally every day. I'm getting called. I'm getting all of this as a young boy. So I already know where it was at. And my pops and my grandfather always told me, man. Like, you gonna learn rapper. And I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. But now I'm into this mindset, and thankfully I still got my pops around in my life. He like, all right, cool, you got it now. Like you see the vision of what I wanted for you I wanted it earlier, but you see it now, that makes it all the sweeter. So I feel good about that.
I'm just gonna say a few words, and I want you to respond to it. First thing that comes up, HBCU.
Black excellence. For me, it's like, when I think of HBCUs, again, I grew up in a pretty much, you know, all white school system. And I never felt like I was supposed to be there. When I step on campus or stepping foot on an HBCU, I feel like I'm supposed to be there. I feel like I'm getting something that I would never get anywhere else.
Right.
They're not gonna lie to me. They're not gonna tell me it was peaches and creams. This was, you know, we were indentured servants. No, we were slaves. Like, this is how it happened. This is how cruel it was. I don't need the watered down version, none of that. Like, I feel like I'm getting everything I'm supposed to get from the root. And that's what, you know, that's how nurturing comes from. Your parents and the people who love you, care about you the most, they're gonna tell you everything that's best for you within the community.
Right.
And that's, for me, that's where I feel like that's what it means.
Right. All right. Golf.
For me, golf is another platform for us as athletes, black athletes who've never been able to be fortunate enough to play the game. Because it was a sport that wasn't for us. And it still isn't. You know, you got country clubs across this whole country where there's only, you know, one person that's a member. But the whole kitchen staff is black. That still happened. Like plantations type, you know? And it's like, for me, I really want to be one of the people who changed that gap. You can have tattoos, dread, look the way you look, or step on the golf course and not feel like somebody else is superior to you because they've been in the sport longer or whatever else. Because at the end of the day, for one, none of that matter, but if you really want to get technical, the greatest player who ever played your game is black.
Okay, so what's the one thing you want to see change before you transition out of college?
For me, I really want to see the tournament situation change. For one, I didn't qualify for our first tournament, and our first tournament was the HBCU Classic. And when I spoke to some of my teammates who came back from the tournament, it was not the best track, didn't have the best hospitality situations. The whole tournament just wasn't ran as professional when you go to these other schools. And the reason why it, quote unquote, isn't ran professionally, because we don't have the funds. It's golf schools that we pull in, we go to Chapel Hill, Dukes, Clemson's, Wake Forest's, they pull up. It's literally like some varsity blues, bro. Like, they got the sprinters and they got the team all around it. They got the top equipment, technology, everything. We pull up in 16-passenger AU van, hopping out, some people's shirts match, some people don't. This, right. The, like, you know what I mean? Trying to put it together.
Right.
And it's like,
And prime, for me, when I was growing up, prime said it the best. You look good, you feel good, you play good, you pay good. And all and for us as, you know, minorities, that's how a lot of us think. We feel like if I don't look the part, I don't feel like my best self. Right. So I can't give it my best. Right. So when I see my teammates get out on these buses and all that, they look demoralized before we even get to the course. You don't even know this play.
Right. So you do understand the dynamic, right? Like it's a business. And so like, what's the solution, right? Because I don't want to get into a debate and a back and forth, but what's the solution of like when we talk about funding when it comes to HBCUs? Because a Power Five, right? Like TV contracts, they're generating revenue to be able to do that. And a lot of times
that's because they got Brandon Marshalls and DJ Williams to play in. If it wasn't for y'all, it would be none of that. So what I like for me is like, okay, cool. This is my first time going to school and everything else. Tomorrow, Kentucky, and you know, I got a bunch of dudes, Duke, Carolinas, all that. I'm like, yo, bro, why are you giving this school $50,000, $100,000, $200,000? For one, you're in school for 6 months. Most of y'all is one and done. You made the school umpteenth millions and millions over again. Every time you pull up to the school, they got construction going on. They stopping. That $50,000 you about to give them, that's not changing nothing. That $50,000 to $100,000 you give to an HBCU, it changes lives. And that's just a fact. It's just, it is what it is. Look what Prime did. Look what Prime is doing at Jackson State. That is sold out.
So that was getting
top prospects. You get top prospects to go, and what people fail to realize is a lot of those Hall of Famers are coming from HBCUs. A lot of them, like granted,
that's Jerry Rice,
Power Five guys who are
Walter Payton.
It's right? A lot of HBCUs Hall of Famers.
So you said it. You jumped ahead of me. Deion Sanders,
Prime, one of my mentors from day one. Him and MJ, Ken Griffey, Prime. That was like my whole life. And Prime hit me up on my DM when I told him I wanted to go back to school. I told him how inspiring he was, whatever. And he responded on Instagram. I never really got the actual chance to meet him or whatever. And it was like, off the rip, he was like one of my all-time favorite people. His conversation was different. Mm. Like the way his energy reading the text was different. And I don't even know if that's possible. Like, it was like, you know, it was so inspiring and filled with joy and love and, like, proud of me because not only did I follow him, but he was almost like, he knew he did it the right way to have somebody else that liked me to follow behind him and to look up to him. And so in the next generation passed on in that sense. And it was scary for me because when somebody like that or like people like I really admire and look up to, that changes my life. Because I understand, like, it makes me have a better understanding, not only of who I am, but who I'm striving to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but again, at Jackson State, like, bro, he's making the number one pick, number one cornerback.
Right.
Nah, I'm cool, I'm going over here. That's all it takes. Think about if Melo didn't go to Syracuse and all. Think about if it stayed quote unquote segregated. How big would basketball, the black ABA or the Negro leagues and all? How big would it be? Right. There'd be no records.
Right.
We have every record possible. But everybody, it's hard because again we fall into that Eurocentric mindset. It's like, nah, I need to be first. I need to be this, I need to be that. In order for me to be this, I can't with you right. Because they said I can't with you.
Right. Neil.
NIL?
Yep. Name, image, likeness.
Something like that it was way overdue. Again, I think about it and I think of, you know, God rest his soul, Sean Taylor, think about that Miami crew, all these dudes. And you go to these stadiums, my cousin played for the U, so I was fortunate to see y'all win a national championship and stuff. When you go to those games and you see somebody wearing 26, you see somebody wearing 20, you see somebody wearing 56, you see somebody wearing 23, you see somebody wearing 5. And ain't got no name. It ain't got no name on the back, but you know whose jersey it is. You know why they selling it. You know why you can't find them.
Right.
But you can't give this man a dollar. I could never resonate with that. And I'm fortunate now to where I didn't have to go through that as a player, going through school and whatnot. But now, being on the other side of it, I'm able to use my platform to not only generate money for my school, but for myself too.
Right.
Fatherhood.
Oh man, the greatest job in the world. If it's a job, if you want to consider it that. It is a job, I ain't gonna lie, because it's a tough job at that, but it's the greatest position to be in. I got 4 girls, and you know, people were like, man, you gonna try for a boy, you gonna try for a boy, give me 4 more girls. Like, my girls is unbelievable, and being able to be in their life and be able to teach them and them even teach me, you know, what this decisions that they go through. It's another reason why it's a bigger part of what I want to do with female sports. It's being done, but it could, again, have even more of an impact because we got so many Candace Parkers, the Sylvia Fowles, the list goes on and on, Serena Williams in sports and Simone Biles, and it's like, it's not enheightened and enriched enough amongst our own community, let alone for it to be acceptance to everybody else. So fatherhood has taught me not only to protect them, but also look for help, other ways to help and provide lanes for young black women.
Okay, I got 2 more for you. It ain't gonna be an Iron Man athlete show if I don't get messy. 2017 NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was you doing?
So, I've been waiting to really like dissect it because I've been asked this question in certain situations, but I never felt comfortable enough like I do in this, and obviously in this element to say what I really wanted to say. So, in a situation where the game is tied, Antoine can attest for this. The first thing we do is see how many timeouts we got left. As the point guard, whoever's not shooting free throws, 9 times out of 10, especially if it's the finals, is down there by the coach, figuring out what we got going on, what's the situation, where we going, Now, me already knowing, I already knew we had a timeout. We get the rebound. I get the rebound. And I think it's 5. I want to say 5. I'm going to say 5. I want to say 6, but it's 5 other times earlier in that season. We were put in the same situation. First thing we do, we get the rebound. We call timeout. All right, bet. Get the ball to Brown. Space out. He's going to make it work. All right, cool. Now, not to mention, at the time, I did think we were up 1. Because I missed a free throw on the other end. I wasn't paying attention. I was doing that. I was telling you about. I'm talking to the coach. All right, cool. This is the situation. Dude ended up making 1 and missed the other one. In the situation, I think, all right, cool. We get the rebound. We call timeout. We got a chance to win. What better chance we got? Long story short, it don't go that way. So we get to the timeout. And we walk into the bench. He's like, yo. Brown was like, yeah, we got a timeout. We got a timeout. I'm like, yes, we got a timeout. He looked at the coaches. Do we got a timeout? I'm like, bro, it's a light right there next to the timeout. So we have a timeout.
Right, right.
Get to the huddle. Coach tell him, yeah, we had a timeout. I think it was Dante. And that's when he, like, you know, fall out, lost it, whatever. And for me, but after that, for me, it was like, it was an island because none of the coaches said it. It was like nobody wanted to take responsibility for it. So they're like, you left me with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. That's the way you want to play it. We can't call ourselves a real team. Because at the end of the day, if you're banking Like, in any other situation, had it been anybody else, miss a shot, make a shot, whatever, whatever, they'll tell you firsthand, oh, one play don't change the game. One play don't, whatever, whatever. But in this situation, nobody said this. Now, granted, it's a tie ball game. Why you ain't shoot it? I get the rebound. I got KD, who's 7 foot. He stick his hand up. He's 10 feet tall. I got another dude who's my height right behind me. Where else am I going to go with the ball other than dribble it out? You want me to just, pump fake, go up on KD, block my, and then what? You know, why you ain't pass the ball to Bron? So what else would you like me to do in this situation? Even better. I don't even get the rebound. KD get the rebound. Then what? We foul, go down, we lose. So what's the, for me, it's like, oh man, you made the dumbest situation. I see the memes and all that shit and all that. And I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, year before. If you, when I say this, it's like when you train to do something, you've done it numerous times. Timeout situation. Like timeout situation. All right, cool, we got a timeout, whatever, get the rebound. We're gonna call a timeout. Year before, nobody wants to talk about it. Me and Bron used to do that shit every time. Somebody switch. If he got the ball, and he's you on the break, just know I'm coming. Just give me a split second, and I'll get to it. All right, cool. Didn't look behind me, didn't know nothing, none of that. Cool, Andre Iguodala, go up, extra second, block. Win championship. You don't give me credit for that because he got the block. But you give me credit for the loss because I got the rebound and dribbled it out. Not on top. On top of that, I'm the one who made him slow the ball up. Mm. Now if I just go foul him, he shoot two free throws, or just go let him lay the ball up, the bucket. It's a totally different narrative. But what suits the better situation? You gonna call Batman the villain, you gonna call the Joker the villain? Because they've been calling me the Joker for 10 years already. So what you gonna do? You ain't gonna say nothing to him. You ain't gonna say nothing to T.V. When I tell you I got grown men spooked to the white face, like don't know what to say, don't know what to do, don't say nothing. People you talking about, nah, that's my man. Don't say nothing. Like crickets, bro?
Right.
Let me holler at you real quick, bro. Look, man, I don't agree with what happened, whatever, whatever. This is what happened. This is how I feel about the situation, whatever, whatever. Regardless of the fact, whether you're going to get mad at me, I'm going to get mad at you, regardless of the fact. We brothers, right? We boys, right?
Right.
I can talk to you, right? We talk about everything else, but we can't talk. Say less. And that's what everybody on the team. We don't even talk about it. We got a group chat to talk every day, still to this day, we don't even talk about it.
So, I said this earlier. A lot of times, our identity is made up is in the sport. Have you ever recovered from that, or like, where you at now?
With that situation, I'm mad at myself in that situation because how you were saying earlier, I didn't take it into my own hands. I put myself in this position since I was 3 years old. So I first picked up a basketball. I knew what the finals was and all that. I imagined me being in the finals and having an opportunity to win the game, and I blew it. That's the way I look at it. From the time I was knee high to a duckling, this is what my goal was. This is where I'm gonna get to. This is how my career gonna go. This is how my gonna go. Regardless of the fact, didn't make All Stars and all that. And that's cool. Whatever. If I'm in the finals,
you're a champion already.
I'm a champion already, but at the end of the day, you play for chips. Mm-hmm. I'm going for two. But it's like, for me, I made peace with the situation because I know what I'm dealing with. If I still was in that denial state of I don't know what I'm dealing with, I don't know the people I'm dealing with, I know what I'm dealing with. I expect to be left on the island. Every time a conversation, whatever, I'm not expecting nobody to
So have you recovered from it?
Yeah, I recovered from it for sure.
Because, you know, as athletes, bro, like, I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's sports. It's a game. But, like, bro, like, that stuff is so personal to us. Have you recovered from it?
Yeah, I believe I've recovered from it. For me, because I ain't going to lie, bro, I used to dream about that. Like, I was in a depressed state because I really thought this is why I'm not in the league. I used to really think, like, damn, off of one play, after all, I used to sit here and watch my YouTube, like, yo, bro, after all these highlights I gave these people, after all of this, like, you tell me I got talent, I got this, I got that, I got this, off of one play, now all of a sudden I don't have talent no more, I'm not good, I'm not, you've been saying my IQ is off, my shot, was off or whatever, shot, what do they call it? shot selection.
Right,
yeah. You just shoot any shot. You've been saying that.
Right.
So what is it really now?
Right.
Because I go to the gyms that your current players go to, I kick their ass. I kick their ass.
Yeah.
You're sitting there and you look at me like, oh, why don't you have a job? You the GM, you tell me.
They there.
They there. Literally watch, like, damn, you still got it. Like, what do you mean still got it? I've been doing this all my life. I ain't never gonna go nowhere if that's the case.
Right. All right. So, I'm supposed to have one more. It's three more.
Oh, let's talk about
it. But quick. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to be respectful of y'all time. Mental health.
Yes, sir. Very important. Very important. A lot of people don't realize that During the course of my career, my first couple of years, me and my best friend get in a car accident. My best friend dies. I go to jail for 29 days in solitary confinement. It's 23-1. Weekends, you don't come out. So that means your door pop at 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday, your door not popping again until 9 p.m. on Tuesday. And then if your door pop at 9 a.m. on Friday, your door don't pop until 9 p.m. on Monday. You in there. Coming from, again, suburban neighborhood, from that to high school's, I would say rough, but it wasn't like, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and portray it like it was Eastside High, but it was rough in Newark and all of that. But after 2 years into that, I'm going straight to the league. It's two millionaire. 2 years into the league, car accident, go to jail. The friends and the relationships that I built during this time, playing with AAU ball, high school ball, league now, coaches, all agents, all of that. Two coaches came to see me. One player called me.
Who what's the two coaches, one player?
Tim Gergerich, he was with me in Denver. Jamal Mosley was with me in Denver. He's with he's the head coach of Orlando now, and Kenya Martin. My boys, my people who you like when you see me on TV fighting for, like my man. You have a call from? Oh nah. You have a call? Oh nah. Like facts. So that puts you in a. Right there, put not only on top of grieving, you in a position where you got, but don't with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I don't need you for no money on my books, bro. Like, I'm making money. You know I got money. I need to talk to you to get the out of this mind I'm in. And I ain't gonna lie to play. It's still with me today. That's when that. Like that, I don't get over. Because that's your character. That's who you are. Like you're not real. You're not a real friend to me. Like when I got people who get locked up in and out revolving doors, regardless of the fact you my man, I'm not gonna turn my back on you. I'm gonna answer the phone. That's the least I could do. I might not send you money all the time because I don't know what you're gonna do with it. You know, I'm not gonna aid and abet in what you got going on or all that. Bro, you behind the wall?
Bro, my younger brother been locked up. He been in and out since he was a jit, since he was like 10, 11. And so, bro, I be in business meetings right now, Twan. He hit me up, I don't care who I'm talking to, closing a big deal, working on a big deal. It's my brother calling, and I take that call. He in Pollock, Louisiana, and it's rough. And so I just know it. I'm like, man, a couple dollars means a lot. You know what I'm saying? We got this package coming up, Christmas package. Boom, I need that. But more so is what you're saying is like, just that conversation. And I'll answer the phone just to tell him, like, bro, I'm in a meeting right now, and sometimes it gets sticky. Call me tomorrow. That's important.
But they had a dialogue.
Right, right. That's important. I said I had two more. I'm going to go with one more last one. J.R. Smith.
I don't know, but I got a lot. I got a lot. My mind don't turn off, bro. Like, I don't know. So if I go with my vision, when I go to school, I'm in school, I'm in classes, I take my liberal studies, my history classes, and all this. And I really look at my legacy and my history as who I am as a person. Who I played, how many years I played, championships I won. They always say, oh, two-time championship, you can drop that. I don't even give a fuck about that. Like, granted, it was amazing to win, as you know, but when it all set, when the smoke and dust all settled, that don't mean nothing. We play a sport for a living that they pay us way overpaid for. I hate to say it. Like, I love my brothers and I want y'all to get as much money as you can, 100%. But doctors, teachers, we more important than them. We more important than the people who teach a 3-4-year-old daughter. Can't tell me that. They spend more time with your kids than you spend with the thinking about the game. My drive is that really when they go back in the history books, and when I'm gone 50, 60, 70 years after when I'm gone, really dissect who I am, where I come from, and what I stood for. Because at the end of the day, that's all that's gonna matter. We still represent Dr. Martin Luther King because of what he stood for. He ain't shooting no basketball. He was a doctor. He ain't doing no surgery. The legacy he left behind for all of us to benefit off of, that's my goal. I want to leave a legacy to all my whole culture to benefit off of and not put us even further down the foxhole. In my eyes, I've been a part of that way too much. Way too much. I got a name off of a liquor that I don't even drink. But they throw that attached to you because I'm black. He's Hennessy and Backwoods, that's him for sure. That's what he do. Oh, that's our style. This is, yeah, Henny Swish. I don't even drink Hennessy, bro. Just the persona of that. I don't want that to be my legacy. That's not my legacy. My legacy will never be, oh, Henny God and all that. Hell no, not if I got anything to do with it. Not for my people. Now, little Jimmy over there going to, you want any guy, I don't know what you call him. But Jamal and Malcolm and all these other from around here, nah, he was way bigger than that. I want to get us to a point to where you can't even talk about my brother if you don't know him like that. That's like me coming up, somebody come to me, man, be Marsh. What did you talk about? First of all, you don't even look like me. What are you talking about? You mean to tell me you have a problem with him, I'm not supposed to mess with him? You don't even look like us. You don't even understand what we're going through mentally, emotionally, every single day when we step front out the door, let alone we walk in another $1 billion door. When people say, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. You should shut the fuck up because you don't know what you're talking about. This is hard, and people don't understand. Like, for me, it's hard because for what I've helped, and I'm not going to, you know, give it to everybody else because I definitely helped in it. What I helped put on my name, it's even harder to get off your name when you're not in the light. Right. I walk into meetings and all these dudes, like, oh, my kids love you, and he got it. Like, bro, I don't even drink Hennessy. Really? Oh, my God. A whole new conversation. You are completely different from what I thought, because they project you as something that you're not, what they want you to see you as. I'm not that.
And then the evolution of a human being, the evolution of a man.
100%. Right? I'm never going to stop growing, bro. You can't put a cap on what it looks like for me because you're not me. Just because that cap is what the ceiling that you reached and you think that's as far as you can go, don't put that on me. Because I got way more in the tank than that. It's way more to life than just hoop, bro. You building, like you a legacy in your own. It's whether you like it or not, from the day you decided I want to be a professional athlete,
football, basketball, you are already set up to people who already, who gonna wanna be like you, who look like you. And you got a responsibility to those people. They project me as a thug and all of this other shit. How you think that make my mom feel? The way you think she raised a thug? She raised a bad person? I got people on TNT talking about, you know what, at the end of the day, he's just a bad guy. Because the way that I play the game? Now I'm a bad person because the way I play the game. How does that make sense? And these Hall of Famers who sit up there, they got the biggest responsibility of everybody because you in the hall. People looking up to your words as God. You gotta, like, we all have a responsibility to one another. When I say, that's why when I talk about talk, not only is it group economics, it's literally group help within one another. You can't just sit here and just slander somebody else's name and then get upset because he defended himself and then call him sensitive. That's another black man. That recycling phase that we used to go through and support one another's businesses, then we had our own economic ventures and banks and businesses and all of that. It don't happen because, again, like we were talking about earlier, we don't work together. It's not group. It's a Eurocentric mindset. I'm good. I got what I need. I got my boat. I got my Bentley. I got this Maybach. What does that mean? How does that work? When we talk about where do we go from here, that's a start. We gotta look out for one another more than just trying to, quote unquote, do the status quo or what's good enough or what's cool. Like, that's not enough. Because we've been behind the eight ball and been behind for so long. How long are we going to stay here? Right. It's up to us at this point. Because our ancestors, they made the choice. They made the sacrifices. They cut the bus lines. They sat in the cafeterias. They did all that. They took the whoopers, the killings, and everything. And what are we going to do? Spit in their face and just tell them, thanks, but this is what it is. This is our ceiling. This is what it looked like for us. I don't agree with that.
So I want to commend you, man, because you came out of high school and to still, you know, think about your education and obviously set an example for your kids and other people in your family. I want to commend you for that. But what's strange is that as athletes, and me and you both sat in that seat, we never thought about joining together and starting anything financially together or building anything as a team. And I just think it's a little deeper as you look for answers. It's going to be tough for us to come up with an answer to that because we still looking for that answer within ourselves. Why didn't I think about partnering with you? But we can have a homeboy come to us and want to get $100,000. We're going to take a chance with him. Right. Instead of going with somebody who got guaranteed money, who's got the same amount to lose, who's got the same everything to lose the same as I do. But we don't think about that because, you know, like I know, we're in the locker room and you play on a very competitive team. Everything was competitive.
Everything.
From the way we dress, from what happens on the court, who made the most money, and it gets into cars, girls, it can't, so everything was competitive.
You top five, top 10 in your league, got a bag. You top 5, 10 in your league, got a bag. You top 5 in your league, got a bag. If those powerhouses get together, how are you gonna lose?
Okay.
I am athlete, black excellence. Swish.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wiggin' wheels straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie detector test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.